What exactly is inclusive leadership? How do we leverage the diversity of ideas from our employees? How would a values-based approach address diversity inclusion? Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, depending on your part of the world. Welcome to Break the Box with Dr. Ted, where critical thinking breaks conventional norms. The answers to these questions reside in boxes that restrict our perceptions, thought processes, and decisions. This podcast is designed to shed light on many common beliefs and thought processes that we use every day, but have not critically explored if they are useful to our life. The ideas shared are meant to be a conversation starter. For those who are ambitious about leading change, the ideas will always have practical actions you can take to better your life and your world. Welcome to Break the Box. Today, we're going to talk a little bit more about inclusive leadership, which has been on the media and in the conversations in many companies throughout the nation and around the world. I have with me today, Cody McMichael, a trusted colleague who's seen a lot in his rich career. Cody, welcome to Break the Box.
Thanks, Dr. Sun. Pleasure to be here today.
Great. So tell us a little bit about what you've seen lately in the whole sphere of diversity, equity, and inclusion.
Well, I'm actually going to give you two examples. The first example I'm going to give you is I worked for a very large corporation for about 14 years. And in that 14-year span of a very large corporation, our diversity and inclusion training consisted of a 10 to 15 minute video once a year, and then a short 3 to 5 question quiz and questionnaire on what were the things that we learned in that video. And the thing about it is that we really never learned anything in that video. It was just information pushed at us and a checkbox for us to sign off so that we could move on, so that the organization could say that, hey, we did this. And they put a stamp on it saying that, you know, this is our diversity inclusion training. We're teaching everybody what they need to know, when in reality, they're not really teaching anyone anything. And then the second example is I had the pleasure to be on a call yesterday where they were speaking a lot about diversity and inclusion. And this particular organization has even created a diversity and inclusion hotline. And on their hotline, they receive 0 calls. So it's a bunch of people, a good group of people trying to do what's right, but they don't know what they don't know. And because of that, they receive 0 calls. So Ted, can you please explain to me what the difference is between what they're doing, what they're trying to do, and what is actually going on?
Sure. When it comes to inclusive leadership, the greatest challenge people have is that they've not truly experienced it themselves. So how do they know how to fix something when they don't know exactly what it is? What exactly is inclusion? Let's take that training example you've talked about. We see so many companies and so many vendors out there providing training on diversity inclusion because it's highly profitable. It's what everybody wants. So they charge $50, $100 per person, per employee for this generic training. The decisions about diversity inclusion training are made in traditional management practices, which basically means, hey, I'm going to give you inclusion training, but I'm going to tell you what to do. You have to do it. It's simple conformity. You have to do what I tell you to do in this management structure because I have a position higher than you. The decision itself to force mandatory training does not reflect inclusion. And yet you're going to learn something about it. So how human beings react to that emotionally has a huge challenge in whether they actually learn something or not. The decisions about diversity, including training, have fundamental challenges with the inclusion principle itself. The second part of that is when you say, I just simply don't remember what it is. A lot of that has to do with how this diversity inclusion training is taught. The process is, let me push a whole bunch of information at you. Today, we've made education in the corporate sphere into a huge education / information push-in. I can make it prettier with pretty faces, great videos, great multimedia, some interaction here, there, and some basic choices. At the end of the day, they're still pushing information at you. Does that involve any type of inclusion in the process of learning this? If I'm trying to teach you inclusion, but yet I'm not including you in your thoughts, where does it go? Your brain will simply take that information, process some of it, and forget it. That's why these things are happening.
That's a really interesting view on things, Ted. Can you explain to me what the difference is in the actual inclusive view of leadership?
Sure. If you take the concept of inclusion, it means to include people in the decisions itself. It means before you take a decision, you want to get input. You want to have everybody sharing ideas. So for example, one of the companies we work with, we created a metric that said, I want ideas from every single employee. So the metric was ideas per employee. Regardless of color, gender, whatever you have in the demographics, in the pretty side of things that people tend to report on, we look at how many ideas am I getting per employee. If I'm getting more than one idea per employee, so for example, after 2 months of working with them, we got their metric to 1.25 ideas per employee, which meant that every single employee is giving us more than one single idea. And that idea gets pulled into the collective decision-making process so that decisions are made with a holistic sense of what is going on in the reality. And it's significantly wiser because the decisions are well-informed and it takes on the wisdom, the collective wisdom of all employees and other stakeholders that's necessary for that decision. It's not just a reactive approach in the management practices where, hey, I'm the executive or we're the executive team. We make a decision and you guys have to figure out how to deal with it. Or we give it to marketing and say, hey, figure out how to sell this and convince everybody that what decisions we made about their lives is the best for them.
Awesome. That's a really great way to look at things, Ted. My next question is, a lot of diversity and inclusion issues seem to come up in the hiring process. What ideas surrounding the hiring process do you have?
Well, when it comes to hiring process, it's pretty fascinating. I just got them off the phone with one of the HR executives at a major company here, and they're struggling with, wow, for the next hire, I have to hire Blacks or I have to hire of this demographic just to meet the quotas. And I'm saying, okay, so it's okay for you to hire these people based on the quota, but will these people want to come work for you in the first place? Because if you're predominantly one group, why would that minority come in, be that minority in the company? Why would they want to come in and work for you in the first place? You're going to have a heck of a time hiring that person. On the reverse side of things, when there's a skill level match, companies can easily say, I can't hire you because of you're this color or this race or this sexual preference, because that doesn't meet the quota. From a business perspective, it makes no sense. So what we did was when I was working with this particular organization, I said, okay, why don't we take all the surface level out of the equation? If we want to have equity, equity applies to every single human being. Why don't we hire people based on their skill sets? We don't see what their gender is. We don't see what their name is. We don't see their ethnicity. We don't see any of that stuff. We use technology to take that out. This has been done in academia for a long time with double blind peer reviews for publication of articles. Regardless of which professor name, which great university they come from, they can come from Harvard or wherever, or a little Timbuktu university that nobody knows. But when we review the article itself, we have no idea. It's completely anonymous. So we only judge the article based on the merits of what it is, of the research methods, of the topic, of the innovative ideas that they bring forward. That's it. Why don't we use that same approach to hiring practices so that when we hire people, we simply look at people for the value they bring to the organizations? No names, no colors. I mean, look at the voice. It's a perfect example of how they're taking everything out of the equation when they select a talent based on how well they perform in that singing. Why don't we do the same when it comes to hiring? That's what equity is all about. That's when we can take all of that unconscious bias that we're constantly struggling with out of the equation and say, hey, here's the most qualified individual and here's how we approach that individual. But it's something very hard for people to kind of put their hands around and really understand how to go about doing it in a systemic way.
Wow, that's a really, really great way to approach hiring. Ted, in our talks before, we've always discussed value-based inclusion and value-based diversity and inclusion type things. Can you talk to me a little bit about what that is and how we go about changing systems to move towards a better system?
One of the most common challenges in the current DEI movement is that everybody focuses on the surface level behaviors. When I say surface level behavior, is what you can see. So if I tell you to go value someone of a different color and race and so forth, a gender, it's about actions. Go do this. But nobody's looking at how am I perceiving that individual? How am I perceiving myself in the first place? If we take the fundamental psychological principles of perception, right? This is much more than just unconscious bias. Let's peel back that onion a little bit more. It has to deal with the individual's core values, as well as their beliefs about other people, about themselves, and their own identity. Having a much better understanding of their core values and what they truly value versus what they actually practice will help you bring a much closer bond between people from a values perspective, not from an ethnicity or, you know, gender or sexual preference or anything like that. At the very core basis of humanity, we have common values that we share. We have priority differences between our values based on our upbringing. That diversity of the individual is not just about the clothes that you wear or the color of your skin. The diversity of the individual goes back to your core values and your belief system. And if your belief system is not healthy, that's when the problems are going to happen, because you will perceive people in a negative way. So if you had a bad experience with an individual of certain color or ethnicity and so on, then your belief system may say, hey, I had a really bad experience with that. Therefore, this entire group are evil. But the reality here is you can never make judgments on an entire group by the acts of a few individual. The actions of one individual or a few individual does not reflect the group. And this is a sad part about what's happening currently. When there's a few individuals that may make some poor choices, everybody jumps on them and even starts discriminating against the entire company, where you have many, many thousands of people working in that company that may not share the same views. And worse yet, now we can discriminate against the entire state in some ways. If we're really looking at discrimination, discrimination is about taking a actions of a few with your negative connotations and applying to an entire group of people, entire race, entire color. That is simply not true. So when we work on diversity inclusion, you have to start with your values, understanding what your core values are, aligning them with the organization, what the beliefs are, making sure you have some healthy beliefs so that your belief system basically says, in front of me, I have an individual. Just like I'm working with you, Cody, I see Cody as a human being. I don't see Cody as white, black, yellow, male, female. Cody is an individual with value. That's all I see. That's my belief system. The belief system has to be there. And then when it comes to values, it's rather hilarious. I've been working in the values arena for the last couple of decades. And so many companies have these shared value systems that sound great. But when it comes to shared values, anybody inside the organization have contribution to that shared value set if it's truly shared? In most instances, the shared values are created by the marketing side or by HR. And it's a small selective group creating what may look good for the company. But at the end of the day, then you're pushing those shared values back down to the organization, to every single employee that comes on and works for you, say, oh, this is our shared values. You have to comply to this. That doesn't reflect any of the shared values that's stated. No shared values would have conformity. And yet the way we're approaching diversity inclusion is conform. You have to take this training to continue to be hired, or you have to continue to get this training in order for you to continue to be employed in some way, shape, or form. It's ironic, but it doesn't make any sense, but that's the common approach to it.
Bringing it full circle, based on a shared values, if we could create a shared value system inside of an organization, we could have a much better approach to diversity and inclusion as a whole, correct?
Yes, definitely. That's a very good starting point, but there are many other aspects. At the individual level, once we get a good understanding of your shared value set, your own awareness of your values, and then your belief systems, and then your identity, and then we go on to work at the team level, and then we go on to work at the organizational level. At the team level, there are things like, what is my alignment between my core values and my team members? What is my level of control, amount of stress that I have to deal with? All these factors come into play from a diversity, inclusion, equity perspective. Because if I see someone that's at the same level as me getting less work or getting better work, then that jealousy will automatically happen and it's not equitable. So there's a team component to that. And then you look at the overall organizational aspect. and organizational decision-making processes, your performance management systems. There's many, many aspects at the organizational level that also has to align with this entire movement. When it comes to diversity and inclusion, it's not just about some simple training that you give to everybody. It's about understanding yourself at the individual level, working with the team dynamics so that relationships are much better, and we focus on commonly shared values working together. And then the organizational level, creating systems that promote this. It's almost like creating a new game for business. Instead of focusing on profits only and working within the management principles that everybody does, and which creates all these problems in the first place, create a new game. Create a new game where people are being included. Every individual can share ideas so that when you have that diversity hotline, it's not, oh, how many calls did you get last month? Zero. It's, oh, we got all these calls, ideas coming from employees that says, oh, we can do this better. We can do that better. So you can make better choices so the organization can consistently achieve new innovations day in and day out. That's what really inclusion is all about.
Yeah, you're exactly right, Ted. This has been a wonderful conversation. I really appreciate all your amazing insights. It's obvious to see that we have a lot of work still to do in diversity and inclusion, not only from the training side of things, but just as a total system. I encourage all of you to jot down your top five values and then take that list and explore it to see how it fits your daily tasks, both personally, professionally, and with all the relationships of the people around you, to see how they align.
That's a great idea, Cody. Everyone should be more aware of their core values. This is Break the Box with Dr. Ted. Let's break the current conventional approach to diversity inclusion. Let's make a better game so that everybody wins. Thanks for listening. If you like this podcast, please click on subscribe and share it with others. In the current movement of inclusion, let's have active, conscious conversations about what we don't know that we don't know. Take this as a conversation starter. Explore, challenge, and grow. Thank you for listening.